Let's stand together. We're going to open in prayer, and then we're going to praise the Lord with our music team. Let's have some fun together worshiping God. Lord, I thank you so much for what you're doing in our midst. I thank you for all the opportunities that we have to serve. I thank you for this group of people who show their love for you by loving the least of these. Lord, that's what you told us to do. God, I thank you for that. I pray that as we worship you today, that you would be lifted up, that it would just bring a sweet sound to your ear. Lord, might today encourage us to follow you more closely. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so we've been talking in a series about the fact that we are Easter people, people who follow Christ, people who have him in charge of their life. They are called Easter people, people of the resurrection. So a couple weeks ago, I handed out these bracelets that say, "We are Easter people," and then it says, "Be brave." Just as a reminder for us that when we're in the thick of things, when things are getting really tough, that we can remember, wait a minute, we are Easter people. We know this isn't the end of the story. We know there's hope. We know that our God is with us. We know that. And so when Jesus said, "Take heart, I have overcome the world," what he's saying is be brave, stand firm, take heart, don't lose hope. I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world by defeating death, by defeating that. Anybody else still need one of these bracelet? How have you missed it? You've been here a couple weeks. All right, what else we got back here? Over here. You guys want to? You guys, these are going to be too big for you. Whoop. You want one? Okay. What do we have over there, Christian? Now I'm out of them. All right, now I'm all out. We've got no more of them, so no more people can be Easter people. That's it. It's already done. No. Just wear it as a reminder. So we've been talking about what's the difference of Easter people living in a Good Friday world. And to define that, what that means is that Good Friday, though we call it Good Friday now, that day itself was not very good. The people who were living through that day would say it was a day of conflict. It was a day of desperation. It was a day when their dreams and hopes hung on a cross. They'll look and say that Good Friday was not good at all. But we look at it as Good Friday because we know what it began. We know what happened on Sunday because we're Easter people. We know the rest of the story. But when I say we're living in like a Good Friday world, I'm meaning that a lot of times we get into this world, especially now, where I just feel bombarded with negative things, right? With hard things, with evil things, with things as you're looking at society. What's going on? You wake up and you say, "It's another shooting today." You look and you say, "Oh, the political powers are fighting again. Oh, the world is unstable." And so it can get to the point that if you forget that we're Easter people, it can get to the point where it feels like desperation, where there's no hope. But Easter people realize that there is hope, that this is not the end of the story if we trust and follow Jesus. So we've been looking at different Easter people. We started out with Mary Magdalene, and we started with her story. Then we went last week to the 10 in the locked room, and there were others beside them, but them in a locked room, fearful, despairing, feeling like their hopes and dreams were gone, wondering if the tomb was indeed empty, if Jesus could have risen like Mary told them. And so they were hanging out there. Today we're going to talk about Thomas, who ended up throughout all history with a bummer of a nickname, Doubting Thomas, poor guy. I mean, that was his claim to fame for the rest of his life. I think he ends up with Doubting Thomas. We could call him Peter. We call him Sinking Peter because people preach his story all the time of, him taking his eyes off Jesus and he's walking on the water and being like, we're going to talk about him next week, being like, oh, and Jesus said, oh, you have little faith, you know, when he looked away, and people preach about that, about how terrible it was that Peter looked away and we shouldn't be like Peter. And I'm like, dude, he got out of the boat. The rest of those yahoos were all sitting there going, yeah, go ahead. Good luck to you, pal. Sinking Peter, or Zacchaeus. We know him. He was wee. Right? So there are these nicknames in Doubting Thomas. And so Easter people, take heart, be brave when Jesus said, I have overcome the world. So the things that we know about Mary Magdalene, there are all kinds of things that we looked at that are rumors, right? Things that are theories. But the things that we know, the main things are the plain things in Scripture, and the plain things are the main things. Okay, so if it's not stated in there, we don't know that. You can have all the theories you want, and this time of year, it's Easter. It's time to hit the theaters with a movie. I don't know which one is this year's yet. And all your Netflix, the things come up looking for the historical Jesus, because it's that season, right? And so there's plenty of stuff out there, but we look to Scripture to find out. We saw, go online, go listen at lovewestbrook.org. If you missed it. These are the things we know about Mary Magdalene, and we look in those highlighted ones, she was cured by Jesus. We look and we see she was the first to witness, she was the first to tell, right? I look at historic Christianity that oftentimes puts women down, puts them under their thumb, puts them subjugated, and yet when we hear the story of Mary Magdalene, she was the first to witness. She helped finance the ministry. She was there for his teaching. I think that if that was written today, she would have been included in the list of disciples, because she certainly was one. And I think that she was, think of this, she was the first to tell of the resurrection. So she, you want to talk about who the first evangelist was? Mary Magdalene. She was the first one to tell the resurrection. And then we saw last week the highlights here, behind locked doors, scared, and Jesus suddenly standing there, didn't knock on the door or anything, showing that, oh, now Jesus is no longer limited to what he was when he was just fully human and fully God at the same time. Now he is able to appear. Okay. We're going to see some of that today, too. He gave them peace. He knew where they were at, gave them peace. And then he said, peace be with you, and I am sending you. So listen or watch online. Today, we're going to take a look
now, Thomas, at Doubting Thomas. One of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.
Thanks for doing that, reading that for us, David. What I would like to do is invite you, if you're just kind of new to all this stuff, you're tuning in online and you're wondering, what is all this that's going on? I want to encourage you to keep searching. You're sitting there and saying, I have doubts, pal. I don't even know if what you say is real at all, but I'm just kind of checking it out. You're going to find yourself in Thomas when we tell this story today, when we look at this story. And I want to encourage you, those books in front of you, there's the Bible there. One of them is the New Living Translation. It'll say on it, I want to encourage you, if you don't have a Bible, take it. There are plenty of people talking about who Jesus is and what the Bible says, but today there's CNN Jesus, there's Fox News Jesus, and we like to find out about Bible Jesus. Okay? So we like to go right to the source. So I encourage you to take one of those with you if you're searching and looking, and just have that as our gift. And I would encourage you to know that that Bible is a library. It's not a novel. A lot of people get in there like, I'm reading the whole Bible in a year. Genesis, cool. Exodus, cool. Leviticus, yeah. Numbers, boom. Right? It's because it has books of history, books of biography, books of poetry. It has books of genealogy. It has books of prophecy. It's a library with different sections. So if you're checking into Jesus, grab one of those books and bring it home with you and read about Jesus, who he was, his character in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They tell the story of who Jesus was when he walked among us. So today, let's pull apart, if you want to grab that Bible and turn to John 20 or look it up on your phones, we're going to pull it apart. We're going to pull it apart because here we believe that it's important to read in context. See Scripture. Don't just pull one verse out and be like, I'm standing on this one verse. Let's see what it says, okay? And so we're going to pull it apart and look at the story of Thomas. We're going to start off. Verse 25. Thomas says, I won't believe it unless, right? His buddies, who he has spent the last 3 years with, have come to him. They're excited. For some reason, Thomas wasn't there at the 8 days before when Jesus appeared to them. When the 24 to 25, boom, the disciples say, we got to tell Thomas that Jesus is here, that Jesus did rise. And so they go. And so there they are, Thomas's friends. And you think, do you have a bunch of friends who are going to lie to you or what? But Thomas still doubted. I won't believe it unless what? Unless I see it myself. I won't believe it unless I take out and I see his hands and I look at those holes, I see his side. I'm not going to believe it unless I put my fingers in them. That's a pretty high standard. Why is Thomas doubting so badly? Because people do not come back from the dead. What the disciples are talking about is nuts. It's crazy. And you hear people today say the same thing. You bunch of Christians, you believe that this dead guy rose again and that he is going to come back and all that. You are Fruit Loops. So Thomas was going, guys, this doesn't happen. Forget it. It's impossible. Now, I am a doubter. I doubt things. We read headlines, right? Clickbait, you see the headline, you're scrolling, boom, there it is. There's this headline. I immediately doubt it. I go, I wonder what the rest of the story is. By nature, I am a doubter. I look at things, I say, that's interesting, but let's not overreact. Let's find out more about this. Sometimes, doubt is good and protective. How many of you have received an email at some point in your life from some poor person stuck in all of their riches? They're a Nigerian prince and they just need your help. And if you will help them, they will let you keep $15 million. I'm a doubter. First time that came to me, I immediately went, what? That's nuts. This is not going to happen. Who would believe that? There are people who believe it and that end up losing everything in their savings to that. You see, I'm the person who likes to mess with scammers. I like to mess with them. And I quickly turn them into understanding that I am a ferret farmer. And I send them pictures of ferrets as I'm talking to them. And I'm like, you're like, you have too much time on your hands. I'm watching the Red Sox. You know, it's baseball. Come on. You look up when you hear, kink. Oh, what happened? So this is, I'm just having fun and going through. Well, I've got this person who contacts me. He says, you are a photographer, right? I says, yes, that is correct. I am looking for someone, you know, and to photograph my family reunion. And these are the dates. It is in next week for 2 days, this day and that day. Are you available? And of course, broken English here and there. And I go, next week is very soon. I am not available next week, but I could do it in 6 months. He says, oh, that will be good. Okay, so you got family coming from all over the country, right? You got it next Friday, next Thursday and Friday, but the photographer can't make it then. So we're going to move it. We're going to move it all to 6 months. Okay, that will be good. Oh, good, because I really want to do your photography. I mentioned to him that I am known for photographing ferret weddings. Some of you followed along while I was doing this. I was posting the text messages on Facebook. Oh, ferret weddings. I love those. We happen to have a ferret wedding that weekend of our reunion. Is that something you could do? Of course I could. Where are you having this reunion? We are having at Lake, and I can see he's looking online, Winnipesaukee. I said, oh, good. Will you be able to fly my staff in? I have a staff of eight and 4 lighting assistants and 2 photography assistants. Yes, of course, we would be glad to. Are we going to fly in on those lake planes or, you know, it's not a big airport over there. I said, so that is a high cost. Oh, it is okay. This family is very wealthy and we just want to have you. Good. Okay. Here are some of my pictures of ferret weddings. And so I send him, very good. He's trying to get me now to agree that he's going to send me a lot of money, going to send me more money than what I need, and then I will pay the vendors for him. That's how the scam works. I say, oh, that sounds good. That sounds good with me. So we went through all of this. I gave him a quote of about $30,000 or $60,000 to be there and photograph his family reunion and, of course, the ferret wedding. He's all okay with this. And then I got busy. You know, Red Sox game was over, everything was ended, and I didn't return his message for 3 or 4 days. He got back to me. Are we still okay for our photography? Oh, yes, I am so sorry, I write back. I am in the hospital. I had a very bad alligator attack. And I lost my right arm. I am also blind now. Will that be a problem? Oh, no, we still want you. Okay, so now you want a blind photographer with a robotic arm. So I get busy again, ignore him a little. And then the next time he comes back, I say, oh, I am sorry, this is his wife. Oh, it is a pleasure to meet you. I design cakes for weddings. Would you like to see? Yes. So I find the ugliest cake online I can find. You know that thing of nailed it? I send him some of those. Those are very beautiful. How much would you charge to do our ferret wedding? $3,000. Yes. How is your husband? He is in the hospital. His robotic arm malfunctioned when I went to give him a hug and tried to strangle me. Oh, that is unfortunate. Can I send you the money now and you pay the vendors? You think, this is crazy. This would never happen. Well, I got him to overnight me a check. Where is it? There it is. He overnighted the fake check for $10,000 to my business, which was named Franny's Spinklefarts Ferret Farm. Yeah, that's my business, Zeke. That's what I do, ferret weddings. No, I don't do any of that, right? So afterwards, after I get this from him, and he's starting to get frustrated with me, I start saying to the guy, look, why do you do this to people? This clearly can't happen. You can't have a blind photographer. This makes no sense. You can't do this. There's no airport at Lake Winnipesaukee. Why don't you change? Why to stop doing this? And then he started calling me names. So I started sending him pictures of corgis. And I did that every time he messaged me for about a week, and then he stopped. I'm a doubter. I'm a doubter when I get these things. I'm a doubter when I'll see things that are in the news. Remember the horrific shooting in Lewiston? We all remember that. I was at a musical performance, Ruby's high school musical thing, and a number of you started sending me texts. Have you seen, oh no, the shooter, this, he's now in two locations. There are more than 40 dead. There are this, there are that, and I am just texting back. Peace be with you. Let's wait. Let's wait. Because first now our news comes out with immediate. Our news now reports rumors. Some people say, and that'll be the news, or they'll say, this is unconfirmed. You know, when I was a journalism major, if you said, this is unconfirmed, that was a story killer. Your story was dead. It didn't go any further. But now it happens all the time. And so I will look, and I'm a doubter. And as the things came out the next day, and the picture became more clear, we saw it was horrific. It was a terrible thing. But the initial story that came out, that we all jump for, so much of that was an error. And it happens in those live stories. Thomas was a doubter. Sometimes doubt is good. Sometimes doubt is good. Lies fly at us today. And we should be slow to sign up, slow to send money, vote this way or that way, but we should investigate. Thomas said, I want to investigate. I'm not just buying it. So the second thing in verse 26, do you notice that the doors were locked again? The doors were locked again. You know, after the encounter with Jesus last week, 8 days ago, a little over a week, where the disciples were and the doors were locked, and then Jesus appeared and said, peace be with you, and he showed him his hands and he showed him his feet and he showed him his side and he showed him all of that, and he said, my Father sent me and now I'm sending you. The doors were locked. I thought that maybe I would say, I'm going out boldly, because if he's going with me, you know, what do I have to fear? He overcame death. But some of you talked to me about saying, I think I might have been more scared. I might have been more scared that Jesus really did rise from the dead, and here he is, and when the Romans find out about this, they're going to be ticked. When the Jewish leaders find out about this, they're going to be ticked. And so I'm more scared than I was before. That didn't occur to me last week. That didn't occur to me. But when I see the locked doors now, when I see those locked doors, I know, okay, I get it. There's still fear even after they've had an encounter with Jesus. 8 days later, you know, the storm is still raging. It's still scary outside, even with Jesus there. See, I heard somebody say, we can put down an anchor, but the storm remains. Verse 27, Jesus meets Thomas in his doubt. Jesus meets you in your doubt. There is no doubt, no question you have that is bigger than God. There's none. He's not scared. He's not scared of your question. Now, I'm not talking about the doubt that's talked about in James, the man who doubts and the double-minded and all that when we're walking in faith. I'm talking about those times that we doubt where Jesus steps in and says, here, put your hand in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. You see what was happening with Thomas? Jesus is not asking for blind faith. It's okay to investigate. And then I want to encourage you, if you're searching here, it's okay to investigate. Please do. Please come up to me and say, Scott, I think what you're talking about is a bunch of hogwash. I don't believe it at all. You know, I don't believe it at all. And I'm going to say, awesome. Keep digging. Keep searching. I love the Far Side cartoon with the scientist that's there, and they've invented the biggest telescope ever in history. And there are these two, you know, like Gary Larson drew them, little hairs coming out, and you know, with big glasses, and they look in their telescope, which is going to see beyond the universe, and they look in, and they see on the other side of it a big eyeball with God being like, hey, here I am. I think we're going to get so smart that we're going to discover what God did. I think we already see it. You see reports, Newsweek. Scientists say humanity could be traced all the way back to a single pair. Really? When Scripture talks about the stars of the heavens being beyond number. In their day, they could number them. They could count them. It would be a big number. But now, what was going to come? I like when it said, the sphere of the world is in his hands. At a time when most people didn't accept that the world was a globe. Jesus meets Thomas in his doubt. So ask questions. Dig deeper. Go to the source, though. The Bible. The standard. If you have a pastor who's standing up here and saying, you have to read between the lines, no. The main things are the plain things, and the plain things are the main things. This is not a book of hidden mysteries where you have to decode it like the Da Vinci Code. We have what we have clearly, and it will address our doubt. Now, is that saying we're going to answer every question? No. No. Because it's not one of the main things. It's part of the story. People always say, I can't wait to get to heaven to ask. Ask God. Ask what he's doing here and why he did that. I'm like, I don't know. I think I'm going to be on my face for a while not asking any questions. But, so, verse 29, blessed are those who believe without seeing me. Thomas says his reaction was what? To touching Jesus. What did he say? Do you remember? He said, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Now, in that day, there were a lot of people called lords. People were Lord, leader, the structure. But my God is another step. So Thomas said, my doubt is done. My doubt is gone. I've seen Jesus. Now, you say, what would happen? Because only those guys who you would expect to tell their story and say, we've seen Jesus, would that be the end? Well, that's why there were another 500 witnesses. That's why the story unfolds as you dig, that you see the witnesses and you see what happens and they see Jesus and then the story spreads like wildfire. So much so that there's 2.6 billion of us today. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. That's you and I. That's you and I. We might, the weird kind of vision thing I had when I was so sick waiting for my liver transplant that I shared with you a couple weeks back. You know, I believe that was a vision of Jesus that he gave me for that moment. Now, that's the only time in my life that that's happened. I'm not one of those guys who's going to get up here and say Jesus shows up and talks to me every morning when I'm shaving. You know, I think if he did, I'd hit my forehead on the sink going down. All right? I don't think it's commonplace. But we believe without seeing, we're not going to have that opportunity. But the things that we see in our life, where we see the Lord come through, where the Lord delivers, where the Lord is strong, those are our evidence. See, Jesus knows that greater things are coming. He knows the rest of the story. He knows that today there will be 2.6 billion of us on our planet saying we're Christians. So while the music team comes up, I just kind of want to conclude here. And we're going to, Roland, you're going to have to exit out of this and go all the way back to play that beginning song again because they're going to play that. But don't go backwards because we'll hear David again. Yeah. And so to conclude, here's Mary Magdalene. She saw the empty tomb and she saw Jesus and she became an Easter person. Before she was a follower of Jesus, but then she was a resurrection believer. The scared disciples saw Jesus appear in that locked room when they were so desperate. And they were transformed into Easter people. Something had changed. They knew it was different now. Jesus met Thomas in his doubt. Jesus met him in his doubt and showed up. And Thomas' reaction was, "My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God." Easter people come to see that Jesus is who he said he was. When you read the book, you see who Jesus is, who he said he was. You see evidence of his resurrection, and they see that he overcame death. John 16, 33 says, "In this world you will have trouble." That was Jesus giving that promise. Is that promise fulfilled in your life? Mine. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart. Be brave. You can face it. Your doubts, I will meet you there. I have overcome the world. We're going to celebrate as we leave today because Jesus meets you in his doubt, in your doubts. Jesus meets you wherever you are, and Jesus gives that opportunity for us to be Easter people, people of the resurrection. And next week and the week after, we're going to see what transformation happens to people who go from being scared and kind of wimpy to totally transformed. So everybody stand up. Let's sing this new song again together and praise God. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would just go with us this week. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you meet us even in our doubts, Lord, that you come and you meet us even when times are dark. Lord, I thank you for all the examples of Scripture when we just see your faithfulness time and again. Lord, I pray this week you go with us and just show us that you're real and that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.